It's so deranged. Like, the very concept is not even that they're going in it blind, but that they have to get engaged and married at the end of it is, like, anybody who signs up for that is messy. Yeah, and it's messy. Going to be messy no matter what. And I love that.
I love it too. Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. You just heard a little tease of my chat with Sydney Battle and Matt Balasai. This is such a fun episode. We get into some real good true crime docs. Yeah, Cold Justice. We get real into Cold Justice. Savior Complex, which just came out on HBO, about that missionary who went to Uganda and kind of killed a lot of kids. Well, we talk about that too. Is it worth watching? I'm going to let you know. This is a great conversation. I mean, there's just so much TV to talk about. And you know we got to get into Love is Blind because it's back with the most boring season ever. So let's get into it. Sydney Battle and Matt Balasai, thank you so much for coming to TV Club. Welcome to TV Club. I am very excited to have you both here. Before we dive in, I do want to say you have a new podcast. You have a new Wondery podcast called Disintel that you're here to talk about. You dive deep into pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, something that to me should be taught in schools. This should be AP US history.
Yes.
You go into what happened, who took the first shot. New episodes come out every week. So obviously I had to have you on the podcast. You are pop culture experts. You know the details, who's bringing the heat. Mm-hmm. And obviously a lot of that is happening on our televisions. So how are you both doing? Just emotionally, well, physically, in life.
It's a thrill to be employed. Just a simple thrill. I get a high off of it, quite honestly.
We've been trying to get more podcasts to feud with us. So it's always great to be on other shows so we can pick a fight.
So we can pick a fight.
Eventually be an episode on our own show.
I mean, eventually, by the end of this interview, we're going to have a feud. We're going to find something.
That's the goal.
I did not know that was the plan, but now...
No, I did just make that up.
Lot of Matt's behavior makes sense. So I am so happy to finally have a reason for it because I was starting to get concerned.
Yeah.
And now that I know,
now
I'm
you're on
in.
The same page, the antagonism, the controversy, we're going to get into all of it. Mm-hmm. I want to know, you know, what made you want to talk about celebrity feuds on a podcast? What are the kind of iconic feuds that made you love this topic?
I am someone who is on the internet like all day. That's all I do. And that's where a lot of celebrity feuds play out now.
Yeah.
I remember when we first started talking about the show, the one feud that I was like, I want to talk about this is Katy Perry versus the nuns that she accidentally like killed or purposefully killed.
Yes.
And they were like, well, we've never heard of that one before.
Oh, yeah. Katy Perry versus old people who want to keep their homes.
She just took out another one.
She's taken out another recently. And they're like, he's not going to survive this, Katy Perry. Please stop. And she's like, I want 2.3 million. Kind of love it for her.
I just love mess, obviously. So.
Yes. I mean, I love internet feuds. Personally, I love like the micro celebrity internet
Ashley,
feuds.
Yeah, I know you do because you always be in something, girl. Like sometimes I literally watch people pick a fight with you and I go, why would they do that? Literally, why would they do that? They know that she is not afraid to clap back. I don't know why they're doing
this. Here's the thing. I have a lot of fun because I don't actually know who anyone on the internet is. I don't know. Like everyone's like, you should know this person because they're famous for being on the internet. And I'm like, what I do
that?
That means nothing to me. And then they'll be like, don't you know you just made like Gaga Gugu Reddit angry? And I'm like, who are they? And they're like, oh, they're the like fans of the babies of the red pill. And I'm like, what?
What are these words?
What are these words? I'm a Christian loving Jesus. I follow the Bible and those words aren't in it. But like, I used to get really into weird Facebook and I got into my own feuds because I made a list of my favorite like weird Facebook niche internet feuds. And someone like leaked it. Like they took it out of my private post and they were like, look, she's like making fun of. And then people were like, wow, I can't believe that you're saying that the drama between Josh, someone, and Jai, a person who has like 1,000 followers on Facebook, is real drama. So I get into it. Like, kind I love when people are like, oh my gosh, did you hear this girl like catfished everybody in a weird internet Facebook group and like stole their artwork? And I'm just like, this is the best story I've ever heard.
That's also a valid controversy. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It might be small, but the stakes are real. Whereas like often the internet drama you get in is like, so it's not even tethered in reality.
Not even in reality.
It is just something so nonsensical. And I always watch it unfold and I'm like, why would you poke the bear? Literally, that is my thought. I'm like, why the,
and
like,
come on.
What?
And this summer when I've been on strike, I've had a strike summer to sit on my house on Twitter
all
day.
She's got time on her hands.
Come on. That's not
the
anymore.
Best ingredient for a feud is
not
time on
anymore.
Your hands.
Thank goodness for the WGA NetCom team because.
Get us back to work.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was approached to do this podcast by our now producer. And she was like, wouldn't you be perfect for this? And I was like, I don't know why you would say that to me. Because in my mind, I don't know anything. And then she had to point out to me that I'm the person in almost every social situation that's like, oh, well, did you hear about this?
See?
Did you hear about what's going on with this?
Yeah. You're the observer. You're the person who's like, okay, recently people have been like, oh, people hate on Doja Cat because her fans are parasocial and say she needs a new sound. And, oh, her
that
fans are being ridiculous.
Happening.
But then you're the person who's like, that is not what happened. So
I'll never forget having to explain to my ex-boyfriend what she was in racial chat room showing feet meant. Like, he literally, did not know about it at all.
It's wild.
I didn't even know this.
Oh my good. She was in racial
showing feet, man.
I get it. Yeah.
And then she
She
started dating this like white guy who's famous
predator
who's like famous for being on, I don't know, Discord or something.
Right.
And everyone was like, he's used to talk to teenagers and you shouldn't like him. And she just started blocking all the fans who said anything.
Yeah.
And then she waited 2 weeks and her team was like, actually, her fans are mad because she has a new, deep, interesting sound, which you can hear on her new album out in
That's exactly why.
And it was like, doesn't sound that different.
It doesn't. It's the same sound.
And like, I'm a fan of Doja. And I understand that like, when you come into the business, you have to make the music that they want you to make.
Yeah.
But she's acting like she's completely reinvented herself. I'm like, girl.
No.
You did what all of us like weird girls want to do, which is cover ourselves in blood and be a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, that is
that's it.
What you're doing.
But
like,
it's still the girl who made Moo. It's still the same sound. It's still like, okay, yeah, I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
But don't try to trick me, Doja, because I pay attention to the drama.
No, exactly. And they're literally, Matt, they're saying stuff like, girl, your man is a groomer. Like, he's a groomer. He's a predator. He's bad. And she's like, my fans don't fucking know me. They don't like me. And it's like, not what's going on.
And she also is like a perennial online person. So she knows. She knows.
She sees everything. You got to do like me. Just ignore it. Don't
Ashley,
look at any of it.
Do you ignore it?
Yeah, that's actually the problem is people are like, did you not pay attention to? And I'm like, oh, no, I never like actually read all the replies to that. Why would I do that? That's insane.
So sorry. I have to go grab something out of the oven.
No problem.
I'll be right back.
What is it? What are you making?
Macaroons.
Macarons.
Okay, fancy.
I will say I think a lot of people don't believe you when you say that you don't remember or that you're not reading the replies. And I'm like, first of all, Ashley does not give me the vibe of someone who's like combing through replies. Second of all, she is high so much of the time. You think this woman remembers everything?
Yeah.
It's like stream of consciousness. Like literally you just like open it and talk. And I'm like, this is clearly someone who's not like doing meticulous research on the timeline.
And then people will be like, don't you know this is someone who was a mutual follower of you for 4 years? But, and I'm like, oh my God, they followed me? Oh. And I'm like, oh, I thought that was a girl I knew in high school. They have the same name. And I just never clicked on. I just assumed. And then people are like, could you should pay attention. I'm like, oh, but it's the who cares? It's Twitter.
Yeah. Why would I have to pay attention?
I just have to say, I never get the chance to do this on this podcast. And I want to do this. I don't even think you know this. Breaking news. Las Vegas police arrested someone in connection to the murder of Tupac Shakur.
They finally did it?
They finally did it, everybody. They have arrested a suspect.
Oh my, well.
I saw on Twitter, yeah.
I heard about this a few weeks ago where they like went to his house and they were finding like documents that helped the case. And I was like, that means that this person has not cleaned out any of their stuff for like 20 plus years. Like this person has just like left literal receipts stacked up inside their house.
You gotta hang on to the souvenirs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Matt. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Like a true killer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How are the cookies?
Yeah, how are they?
They were good. I was getting anxious because they were in there for a while, but okay. It's, I don't want to skip ahead, but I watched The Great British Bake Off is back.
Ooh.
And I watched that this morning, and then I got inspired. I got spurred into action.
That's one of the first questions on the podcast. What have you been watching? You were so inspired by Great British Bake Off. You baked.
I had to bake something immediately. Yeah. And then I mistimed it so that it would come out of the oven once we hit record.
I love that you did that. I've never been so inspired by a show that I immediately do what it's telling me.
That's probably for the best because most shows do not lend themselves to that. It's not like I watch How to Get Away with Murder and then go commit crimes.
I feel like that show would not help you get away with it. I feel like everyone on the show really got caught for what they did.
And they had like a really good lawyer working with them too.
Yeah,
so.
Like a few and a cop on their side, and they weren't doing a great job over there.
No, we can say it.
But why is your penis on a dead girl's phone? Remains
legendary.
One of the greatest lines Shonda has ever written.
And said by an EGOT winner. At that. It's an EGOT-worthy line. It is.
Has she gotten there yet? Has she got her Grammy yet?
Oh, yeah. She got her Grammy. She did, like, voice work on some book or something.
Oh, right. I remember.
It might have been Michelle Obama. I don't know. But she, yeah.
Still, go Viola.
She
I love
did
her.
Sydney, what are you watching?
I made a little list.
Love it.
Let me go down it. I just finished Below Deck Down Under, which
of course
is the only Below Deck I've ever really watched.
Okay.
I just made it through both seasons of 90 Day UK.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Oh,
I'm
incredible, incredible. Did you watch the tell-all?
I did. Shane and Mert continue
to be
that couple. Yep. Yes.
And everyone is jealous, and that's why they came for them, because they
Absolutely.
Know they're truly in love. And everyone is jealous. Yeah.
And Shane has that thing where Shane has been through so much in her life that she is unafraid to call you out. She doesn't want your fake friendship. She doesn't want anything to do with you because she's tired of having people in her life who are fake and not accepting her for all that she is. And I'm like, I love that about you, girl.
Yes.
Did you go off and it seemed unprompted? Yes, but I knew.
Yeah.
I knew it was prompted. I'm also caught up on 90 Day Before the 90 Days. It's the only one I could really watch because all of the iterations other than that one make me too sad. Like, if it's just 90 Day, they're a little too locked in.
Yeah, because it's like they have the visa, they're here. There's no, like, they're not going to be convinced to stay home. Before the 90 Days, there's still, like, hope. Like, you either know, okay, this couple really loves each other, like David and Shelley, or they need to stay away from each other. I do want to say that I recently met Gino and Jasmine.
Okay. Is your theory that they are playing it up for the show?
Look,
or is it that he has a humiliation kink?
Look,
like, are they really in love?
You see them together in person and you go, oh, it makes sense. They are actually in, the energy between them is so horny for each other.
Ashley.
So, like, it is. I was shocked. But truly, I stood there, I watched, and I just went, oh my God, I get it.
Oh my God.
Is he the one that looks like a meatball?
He's the one that doesn't take his hat off
because
he has a little patch of hair at the back of his head.
So he wears a hat all the time. That night, he was wearing a hat, a fedora.
Mm.
And then I was like, can I get a picture with the two of you? And they were like, you have to take them with us separately because they don't want people to know if they're together or not. So they like made me take separate pictures.
Oh my God.
But literally he was just like obsessed with her. She's like, I'm going to make him move. I'm going to make him do this. And he's just like, I can't wait to do everything she tells me.
They're ride or die. As much as we hate it, as literally. Much as we know too much about them. I think literally her peeing on him shifted their relationship. We never needed to know about it. Like, I wish we didn't.
I didn't need to know that.
No.
No.
But moving off of them, I recently binged one of my favorite guilty pleasure shows. I don't even tell people about it because it's like, it's my own little thing, you know?
Share with TV Club. Yeah.
It's called Cold Justice. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, I think so. Is it on like Investigation Discovery or something?
They have removed it from almost every platform. I had to stream it illegally. The premise is that it's two ladies who don't take no shit. One of them is from Texas and she used to be a prosecutor.
Yes.
And as scary as that is in our current society, like she is actually one of those good ladies who's like, I don't care where you come from. I don't care about your background. What I care is that you lost someone who was precious to you, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we catch the person who took your beloved family member away from you. And then the other lady is an expert crime scene investigator. And so they go to these small towns, specifically small towns, where the police departments are just like ill-equipped and have bungled investigations and stuff like that. And they go in. They redo the entire cold case. They like go around, they interview people sometimes 30 years after the crime, and they're collecting evidence. They're collecting basically a circumstantial case. And then by the end of the episode, they lay out the entire circumstantial case to you. And they tell the investigators who are in that small police department, they're like, you take it to your DA. This is what you tell them. And we can finally get justice for this family. And so the best result is that it goes to a grand jury and the person gets arrested for the murder like decades after it happened.
Wow.
Or sometimes, even though you know by the end of the episode who did it, it can be like sometimes the most violent crime you've ever heard of. They still can't arrest the person because they just don't have enough. And then it becomes this like really intense heart to heart where the prosecutor named Kelly will go to the family and she's like usually holding onto a mother's hands or something. And she'll go, you got to let it go. You got to move on with your life because you're never going to see justice for this. But know that she knows you love her. Like stuff like that. It's just
You're pulling me. I'm literally like you're describing. You're pulling me in right now.
Wait, is this a true crime show?
Yes. But the thing is, I don't think it's like gross or exploitative in the way that a lot of shows tend to be. This is like them going to people who really need help, who write them letters. People write them letters being like, please come and solve this case. My sister went missing 20 years ago. She would have never left her kids. Sometimes the kids write in and they're like, I know my dad did it. Like, we could never prove it, but I know my dad did something to my mom.
I'm gonna watch this for the rest of the day now. I've been on such a like true crime kick. I've been watching Savior Complex on Max.
I can't do it.
Yeah, you're better than
me. What is Savior Complex?
So you may remember this story from 2015 to like 2017. There was this woman from Richmond, Virginia, who was a super Christian.
My home state? Of course she is.
Baby.
Of course she is.
She was from Richmond, Virginia. She's a high school dropout who was like in a super evangelical ministry, decided to go on a mission to Uganda. And then when she was there, she was like, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. God spoke to me and said, you need to move to Uganda, open a clinic. You need to help the kids here. She originally started as just this woman who like would get lots of food donations and hand it out to people in the neighborhood. Like, okay, she had this little house and she would get all this food, hand it out to people. Lovely. Wonderful.
Great.
But eventually people started like bringing sicker and sicker kids there who like had malnutrition. And instead of being like, maybe I should work with a local hospital or a local group that's already here that works with malnutrition, I should just open my own DIY malnutrition clinic in this house.
No.
There were like three different hospitals there that all had programs. It's like a thing you need to be qualified for. She did not have any qualifications. She just opened the clinic herself. didn't hired one nurse who taught her how to put IVs in, and she would literally be like, God tells me how to treat the children.
No.
And she was like, I would take them to the hospital and the doctor would just like give them antibiotics. I was like, I could do that.
Yeah.
The doctor would just like do a blood transfusion. I was like, I can do that. So she truly opened her own intensive care unit in this house, like painted the walls red. It's wild. She ran it for a few years, treated like 900 something kids and 105 died. But some people think it's way more. And she was arrested. Eventually, they shut the clinic down. But Uganda was like, you can go back to America and never come back here. Never come back to Uganda.
Kill 100 kids and just go.
Yeah. She adopted two children while she was there when she was 20 years old. She was just like, I feel like God called me to be a mother. And then she brought those children to America. And now they can never go back to Uganda. So they're like just here forever. And she's like, they're punishing them. But then Max decided to do a documentary from like her perspective called Savior Complex.
Oh.
And it's three parts. It also interviews the people who like were, you know, instrumental in calling her out and bringing her to justice and who, you know, kept going to the police and being like, hey, this woman is running a hospital and she's not a doctor. She doesn't know what she's doing. And basically the Ugandan police were like, ooh, if we do anything, we're afraid we're going to like scare white people and Americans and they won't come here and help us. So we're just going to like let her do her thing. And then finally someone was like, she's doing blood transfusions by herself. And they were like, okay, fine. I guess that's a problem.
It's just like, it makes me ill. I can't even think about it too long.
And it's the whole first episode is her perspective. And it's her being like, I'm here to defend myself. People say I did this, and that I'm so horrible. And, you know, there's a rumor that I killed like 800 children. It was 105 children. And it's like, no. Man.
Oh, cool.
And the people defending her are like, well, you know, let he who is without sin throw the first stone at her. You know, and I'm like, oh, I think I could. I haven't seen that bad.
I haven't killed a kid.
Any children.
If we're going sin for sin, I could definitely throw a rock. Like, come on. Like, she killed a kid.
Yeah.
Multiple kids.
The worst thing I've done in comparison that's in like the same vein of that is one time I was on a plane and I had been watching so much Grey's Anatomy that when they asked for a doctor, I literally started to raise my hand. And that is the most unhinged moment of my life. Yeah. And that's my greatest sin. I didn't kill.
And that person ended up dying of natural causes.
Of natural causes, okay?
I still think I could have helped a little bit.
Nothing to do with that.
And she actually went over there. I do believe she just watched a bunch of Grey's Anatomy and was like, you know what? I got this.
I can do a blood transfusion.
She's like, you can buy an oxygen machine off of Amazon if you really want to. And that's basically what she did. She liked people giving her all the money. And there were all these other clinics that were like, well, we're struggling now and people aren't giving us money because they all believe in like the American white girl.
Yeah. And we're actual doctors.
And then eventually she was forced to hire a real doctor. And he was like, I would tell her, hey, this kid needs this, and this. And she would call some American doctor and go, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I spoke to the Lord and this person in America, and we're going to do this.
Racist as hell.
Yeah. And eventually, slowly, it's starting to show the other side. But every time someone tries to defend her, it's the most frustrating thing to watch. So I need to get to the end. I am in the middle of it. I'm hoping by the end, it's everyone being like, this evil woman. Like, I need people to truly call her out.
You're stronger than me.
From the name of the series, it sounds like hopefully she gets her
It's weird because they also interview some people who run organizations that are trying to stop like white saviors and, you know, who are trying to get people to really support local efforts. And they kind of make fun of them. Like, they don't really show them in a good light. They're just like, aren't they kind of overreacting when at the end of the day, she did help some kids?
No.
You know, like, look at these healthy kids. But you see people being like, no, she was playing with people's lives. She truly believed God was talking to her and just decided to be like, hey, I know what's up. Give that kid malaria medicine.
What year is it? This is like colonialism to the extreme, like going into places, fucking everything up.
Yeah, she's like, well, some of the kids were close to death anyway. It's a malnutrition clinic. Like, most of them have a 10 to 15% death rate. But people pointed out that kids would go there who weren't that malnourished. And okay, if you've like learned about any sort of genocide or Holocaust, one of the first things they teach is when these people finally get help, they're so malnourished, they can't like eat a ton of food right away.
Right.
Because that's more dangerous. And you have to like slowly reintroduce food to your body.
Exactly.
Learn that in like high school. And she's just like, you know, we would get them in there, immediately get them on an IV, start pumping them with fluids, you know, start getting them food. Yeah. Like 2 years in, a nurse came from America and was like, what are you doing? You should be giving this kid like just some small sips of water for like 2 days and like some easy to like no chew food, not like hard bread and stuff. And she was just
she was boiling up pasta and bringing out Kraft the spicy rigatoni.
We're making like, probably, you know, like traditional Ugandan food. I love to cook it. And they're like, what are you doing? Why are you pumping them full of like just IV fluid and medicine? And then you realize like, oh, yeah, she truly just was playing around. And that's why so many kids got closer to death. Like if they had just gone to a hospital, they would have been fine. So, I mean, I don't even know if I can recommend it. It's just,
I cannot say I will be watching.
Horrific.
When they announced it, so many people were like, I can't believe that HBO is even giving her this attention and this platform.
Exactly.
And I don't know if you watch BS High about the guy who made the fake high school. He's crazy. He's in the documentary and he comes off looking horrible. I thought it would be like that. I was like, oh, they're going to like, let her, you know, hang herself with her own petard. She's gonna like, show everyone that, you know, she's so smart, but then actually it'll be so damaging. But so far they kind of are being like, she saved some people. And, you know, I mean, people just kept, when she was shocked, people would be like, well, that's Africa.
This literally makes me feral. Like it makes me ferally mad. If I ran across this woman, I don't know what I would do. Like, it makes me so upset that they even gave her a platform of any kind.
Yeah.
This person should be rotting in a cell somewhere, not even in jail. Lock her in a room in Uganda, throw away the key.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like,
and they just
literally,
like, let her take her children and go back to America. And yeah.
Where does she live now?
She thinks she moved back home. She like lives on a farm now. And she's like, my kids have it so hard because people are like, your mom murdered people. And I'm like, oh, don't listen to them.
Yeah.
But it's your mom did. Your mom murdered people. And it was probably very unethical how she adopted you.
Let's start the fundraising now for their therapy. Yes. Like, let's start that now so that when they turn 18.
Let's get on it.
Yeah. And they're free. We can just get them right to some help.
Start the GoFundMe. So Matt, I want to hear more about what you're watching. You only shared one show with us, and gone on like full.
The
just
closest
like
I get to watching any type of those dark shows is like Murder, She Wrote.
Love Murder, She Wrote.
Aww.
I have been watching Murder, She Wrote as I had never watched it before.
Ooh.
I knew, of course, that like Angela Lansbury was a gay icon. Like, knew that this show was sort of like gay, campy, like TV. And yeah, so it's become my like bedtime TV show. I'll watch an episode or two like in bed at night, and I'm obsessed.
It's such a good one. I used to like work in a nursing home in high school and stuff, and they'd always have it on, and I just love sitting back with everybody.
I love that you're nursing home patients also love that show. That
comforting.
Is my taste.
I always love. It's just so comforting, and you just kind of know what like is going to happen, and it's pleasant.
Right. It is the exact same formula every single episode.
Like Law and Order SVU. I'm not trying to. That doesn't lull me to sleep. They get wild.
They've tried to switch
show.
It up lately. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Here's the thing. They're trying too hard to be real. And the whole reason we watch the show is because we want a different version of reality where rape victims and rape survivors, can actually have justice. Like,
Where Elliot Stabler is on your side. Well, he's not on there anymore, but with, you know, he's punching people down on your behalf and it's all good.
Yeah. And you're like, abolish the police. Police brutality is disgusting, but also get him, Elliot.
Get him,
like,
Elliot.
Absolutely. Like, and now in the recent seasons, first of all, my favorite scene is the scene where Noah, Olivia's son, comes out to her as bi. I talk about this to everyone.
I did not know this happened.
It's incredible.
Happy Bi Visibility Week. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And his rationale is that it's not fair for anybody to be left out. And I'm like, okay, I mean, you're 10.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of fair.
Yeah, but it's this
scene. It isn't fair for anyone to be left out of the opportunity to have sex with me. Yeah.
Yeah, a 10-year-old boy. Like, okay, it's not fair. Okay. No, literally, it's a 10-year-old boy saying this, which is why I'm like, that's like weird for a 10-year-old to be like, it's not fair that somebody might not be able to be liked by me. Like, I'm like, okay, interesting.
Okay. That was his rationale for being bi.
Literally.
I feel like I would have been like, hey, little 10-year-old, have you heard of friends? Anyone can be your friend.
Yeah, like, it is just wild. And now, I don't know if you have tuned in to the original Law & Order. I went through a thing earlier this year where I binged all of the original Law & Order, and the new episodes are absolutely wild. They have the guy who played, is her name Alfre Woodard's son in Desperate Housewives? And they have that guy playing the new cop. And he just faces like endless amounts of racism on the job. And he just gets absolutely railed by the NYPD. They're like suspending him because he confronted a racist cop. It's stuff like that. And I'm like, guys, this is too real.
It's too much. We don't need
it's
this.
It's too real.
I don't want to watch a show about that, how the police are racist. I already know that. Come on.
Yeah, and so the fun version of that, like Matz's Murder, She Wrote. Yeah. I love Monk. Like, ooh. Monk also follows the same formula. And when I was little, his OCD really I have OCD. And I was like, oh, that's right. Like, that's our way of controlling the world. This makes sense. Like, he was my hero growing up.
Ah, yeah. Loved Monk. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I mean, I did Murder, She Wrote, too. I guess Psych kind of counts in that category. Like, they were just fun boys. Fun boys solving murders. Right. You know.
Yeah. I need to watch Monk. That is a good show to add to my list.
It's, loved it. Loved it. Tony Shalhoub.
He also, like, grows as the series does. Like, his OCD becomes more manageable because his whole thing is, like, his wife got blown up by a car bomb. No other way to say it. No other way to say it.
Such a calm, chill show. His wife blows up in a car bomb.
Just like Elliot Stabler's wife. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Famous way to kill a wife.
That induces his OCD?
No, he always had OCD. Like, the funny thing is he was like a weird child and they do like talk about his childhood. Yeah. But it made his OCD much worse because his wife was like, literally in his mind, the perfect woman. Like, there's no one like her. He adores her. And when he loses her, it makes him become agoraphobic. Another thing that I suffer from. And so I just really love his journey because he gets out of the house. His OCD starts getting better.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm even more hooked now that I know there's car bombs involved.
Yeah.
And he finds the whole series, he's like trying to find his wife's killer.
Of course. You got you gotta get revenge for the wife's killer. Come on.
Yeah. I'm definitely not like true crime. Like, I am more of the like, I want a cozy mystery.
Yeah. I love the true crime. As soon as I see like a new juicy true crime doc, I'm like, let's go. I hope it's 4 episodes.
I'll watch it. Yeah. I'll watch like a documentary here and there, but nothing too crazy.
I have a few. There's one coming out on Netflix soon about like this newscaster woman who was killed. There's one about this like woman who was in the military and had kids, and then she like killed a bunch of people, I guess. Now she's in jail. It's like something Rosala Speaks. There's some good true crime murder stuff coming out soon.
I did watch one based on your recommendation. I watched What Happened to Baby Gabriel.
Ooh, that one tore me apart.
Yeah, absolutely wild. Like, documentaries where babies or children are given back to the mother when they clearly shouldn't be. Really mess me up.
Yeah. And that I was like, so it's just a whole system why we do that. Okay. That one I recommend to people with the biggest trigger warning because it will just make you angry for days about every system in this country that we have.
Because where do we think he is? Do we think they gave him away to another couple, or do we think that she's like an annihilator?
I think she gave him away. I think she gave him away.
Literal hope.
Yeah. Because like the evidence with the ring, if you don't know, it's basically like this guy and his, you know, girlfriend, they have a baby. They're immediately having problems. It's clear she has like postpartum issues, but like she is basically abusing the kid from the beginning, like flipping him over in bed and like flipping over his cradle because she gets mad. And the dad is like, I'm taking this kid. But then she goes to custody and like says like, no, actually the dad is doing the abuse, blah, blah, blah. And they go back and forth, back and forth. And he just keeps going to the cops being like, she's threatening to kill our kid. Here's video of her saying she's going to do it. Here's a recording of her saying she's going to do it. Jeez. And they're just like, yeah, no, like we're just going to let her keep the kid because she's the woman and that's the law here. And I guess like also maybe he wasn't on the birth certificate or he had to fight for that.
Because they weren't married. Yeah.
Yeah, because they weren't married. So he had even like fewer, less rights.
And, in Arizona, yeah. Like,
yeah,
in Arizona, it immediately goes to the mother.
To the mom. And then she decides to like move in with this family that is like, we want to adopt your kid because you don't, because she kept saying, I'm going to give him up. I don't even want him. Mm-hmm. And so this family is like, we want to adopt the kid. And she says, I'm going to go through with it. But then the dad is like, I don't want to give my kid up for adoption. So then this family was like, well, if you run away with the kid and file in another state, you don't need his permission to give the kid up. But then it became like a huge thing in the media. Like the dad went to the news and everybody was like, this is insane. Why is this woman trying to take this family's kid when the dad is right there? So instead, the like woman goes to Texas, disappears, and so does the baby. And she tells everyone she killed the baby. There's no evidence of the baby being killed. She's like, I put him in a bag, threw it in a dumpster. They did a whole search. No one can find this baby. There's some people who believe she did give the baby up for adoption because in San Antonio, Texas, you don't like have to do all this paperwork.
It's like a black market for adoption.
Yeah, it's just a black market. You can just be like, don't tell anybody I did this here. You can pay people with money. You can give them a car.
Oh my God.
Afterward, she told everyone, oh, the baby died. And she like had jewelry and like a really nice ring all of a sudden. And people were like, yeah, that was probably a payment. They did find like instructions that she had written to meet someone in a park. So they think she like handed the baby off. And then just said, you know, I killed the baby. Then she got arrested. And then she tried to be like, I didn't kill the baby. Like, oh, there, I did. Yeah. Like, so.
Right.
But then people were
in
like,
what world is just being like, oh, I killed the baby, your go-to excuse?
Because she's like a pure narcissist.
Yeah.
She does not want the baby's father to have access to him at all because he genuinely loved that kid. Like, he loved that little
boy. Loved the kid. Yeah. Like his family, they'd show all the like pictures and how much they like loved and took care of this kid. And then the mom would truly be like, oh, I tried to feed my like, I think he was like 8 months older. So he was like, I tried to feed him pizza and he wouldn't eat it. He's such a dick. And it was like, what?
And it's just so sad. Like the dad's family, his like extended family, his cousins, his uncles, aunts, they're crying on camera about it. Like, not just him, but it's so clear that it affected their entire extended family. Like, they wanted this little boy. And so she really is just, like, saying she killed him so that they never get to have him back.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
And she calls the dad and is like, I killed him and you'll never get to see him again. And so it's very convincing and making you think, oh, well, obviously she killed this kid. And then by the end, you're like, maybe she did sell him. We don't know. And they still don't know where the kid is. Or what actually happened.
Matt, maybe that's not a good one for you.
Yeah, maybe not that one.
No, it's
maybe
not.
Do you know what you
it would... does remind me of that tweet that's like, oh, the dad didn't want to take care of the baby. Have you ever considered that
the baby's vibes were bad?
Yeah, maybe the dad left because the vibes were
the
off.
The vibes were
I
off.
Love that tweet.
I love that tweet. I do want to get your expert opinions on some of the best TV-related feuds. I am going to present two feuds to you and ask you which is the better of the feuds. Mm-hmm. So it's the feud of feuds is just the name I came up with right now.
I like that.
That was top
nice.
Of my head.
She's a okay? comedian. She's a writer.
Thank you. Improviser. The first one, I'm going to go... Lea Michele versus the rest of the cast on Glee versus Chevy Chase versus Dan Harmon and the rest of the cast of Community.
That is a tough one.
I've got to pick. I know mine. Are you going to, should we answer on three?
Sure.
One, two, three.
Leah Michelle. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolute crazy pants.
They
made a documentary about how evil she was on that set.
I haven't watched that yet.
It's not that good. It's called The Price of Glee. It wasn't really that great. They interview people who were on the show and worked on it, but it's like the backup dancer from season 2, the episode with Gwyneth Paltrow. And you're just like, okay, sir, you were on set like 3 times. Okay.
Yeah, like, all right.
It's funny to me that we both said it because, like, yes, Chevy Chase was, like, notoriously a terribly difficult person to work with, was, like, racist, curmudgeonly, old, difficult man. But Leah Michelle, shit in a wig, probably. So that trumps her. I'm sorry.
Or threatened to. Like, the thing is, every word you just used.
I choose to believe she did.
Every word you just used to describe Chevy is also something I would say about Leah Michelle.
Leah Michelle, yeah.
That's
Except also
true.
I would add supposedly illiterate.
Yeah, I was going to say at least Chevy Chase can read. So to be that mean when you can't even read Leah Michelle.
Yeah.
That's just rude. Okay. I got to agree with you on that one. For this next one, I'm going to do Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall versus Isaiah Washington and the cast of Grey's Anatomy. It's a little throwback there.
Yeah, that's another tough one to choose between.
Yeah, and I do feel the Isaiah Washington one people may not, but if you do remember, he used a lot of slurs on set, and then they won an award. And at the award show, Isaiah Washington just comes out and goes, "No, I didn't say the F, but he said it instead of saying the F word." The rest of the cast is behind him, and they all just gasp, and Patrick Dempsey just like walks away, and apparently that was the night he said to Shonda, "It's me or that guy." So
Patrick.
Just to give that context, it is a classic clip.
Patrick Dempsey, ally, proven
ally here.
Here's the thing about the Isaiah one. That one just makes me sad. Like, straight up just makes me sad. I hate that T.R. Knight had to go through that on set. I think it's kind of messed up that, like, apparently when he was outed, Shonda wanted to write George being gay into the show.
Yeah.
And T.R. Knight was like, that makes absolutely no sense.
She does
for
that.
My character.
That's what Shonda loves to do. Shonda loves to be like, you're dealing with that? Let's write it into the show.
Yeah. But nothing about that show makes any sense anyway. So it's not following logic.
How dare you,
Matthew?
Totally unfair.
Before Christina Yang left, everything made sense. Okay. I promise you.
Was that before or after the lion walked into the hospital or the bomb went off? Or
that happened
the bomb
after,
made sense.
And the bomb was very good.
That was amazing television. Mm-hmm.
There was a time period of my life where I loved that show so much that any surgery Christina Yang really wanted to do, if I was studying in the library, I would put it on because they have surgeries on YouTube. You can
watch
5-hour cardiac surgeries on YouTube. It's soothing in a way. No, I would have to pick the Kim and Sarah one simply because it's more modern in a sense, even though they're using social media in a way that's like deeply rooted in being like an older woman, like a grid post call out and then saying copy and paste link in the caption. I think it's, still unfolding and we'll have to see where it goes. Whereas like Isaiah, they already brought him back. They like gave him that little, let him be in an episode with Sandra Oh. Like, that one's kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, but he did go full like Republican. He's like full Trump supporter. He was on the show P-Valley for a while. And people were like, no, you shouldn't let him be on P-Valley. He still says all of this horrible conservative stuff. And then they killed him off of that show.
I'm not sad anymore. He had gorgeous skin, so I was sympathetic.
I'm going to go Sex and the City because I want Samantha to get her own spinoff. I think that will be like the height of this feud is if we are watching these two separate like kind of timelines and shows. Mm-hmm. And it's in just like that versus Samantha's World, whatever they want to call it. They can use that.
Samantha's World.
Do something fun, girly.
Did you see that tweet that was like, why are people pretending like Samantha could carry a show by herself? I was like, are you kidding?
Don't even.
Absolutely.
Don't
she did it the first time.
She did it the thank you. Ooh.
Oop.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what's your answer?
No, I would agree. I think Kim Cattrall is like the perfect chaotic feud person. So she, anything with her.
Yeah.
Sydney and I were DMing about that video of her scatting. while her husband plays like the bass or the
Yes. And then you find out they got divorced like a week later. They separated.
Right. It was that tweet. I didn't realize that video was from like the 90s. I thought it was just like a recent kind of devolving into a little bit of pandemic insanity.
She was doing that when the economy was good. That, she like probably owned that house you see them in. It's truly the peak of her fame. And she was just always like that. And I just feel like their feud, it gives you beautiful things like that scene in Just Like That, where they're clearly not actually speaking to each other. They've said nothing to each other. They're in separate locations, countries, green screens, and they just chop it together. That's what I love. That's a good feud. When the writers had to sit in a room and go, okay, how do we do this without them needing to actually interact in any way?
Mm-hmm. I still don't understand why she didn't let Miranda buy that apartment from her.
Right? Because she hates her. Because Carrie hates Miranda. Because Carrie hates Miranda, and she always has. I don't know why, but she hates her.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. That's another feud.
Like, every episode, Miranda is just like, wow, I really just wish I had somewhere to live that wasn't like a shitty apartment where there's one bathroom in my roommate's room and I can't ever use it because she's fucking all the time. And Carrie's like, that really sucks for you. Anyway, my empty apartment is going to the stranger who lives downstairs.
Yeah, bizarre. But I will watch 5 more seasons. I will be tuning in. 10, 20.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, I will watch 10, 20 more seasons of Grey's Anatomy, but Isaiah Washington will never be there.
Oh, no, no. Let's not let him back.
He won't be there. The last one I will do is Julianne Margulies and Archie Punjabi from The Good Wife, which we know, versus Will Smith and Janet Huber on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is the original Aunt Viv, who was kicked from the show basically because she didn't really like to play along with Will Smith's jokes.
It is wild that he absolutely derailed a woman's career.
Yeah.
And then like decades later is just like, yeah, that was my bad. I was young and naive. I'm so sorry. That was my bad.
Cocky. Like, just a little cocky.
You ruined her trajectory.
Fully just replaced her with a new person on the show. Had
Light
the rest
skin.
Of the cast all hate her. And like ruin her reputation for years. And then I will say for that one, they eventually did some reunion where they like all came together and were like, we're so sorry. But it's like, come on.
Damage already done.
Yeah.
Like, truly, that was probably, can you imagine booking a show, a sitcom, having steady work? You're so set. And then some 20-year-old who can't even act at the time. He literally, if you look back, he's mouthing people's lines with them.
Yeah.
Like, he can't act.
He could not.
This kid is getting you kicked off and now you can't work.
That one, real consequences.
Meanwhile, the Juliana one I don't know as much about. But that's the interesting part of it.
I'm the reverse because I know more about the other one. But when they replaced Aunt Viv, was it like this is the same character but a completely different actress?
Yes,
and they just don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, but she was light skinned as hell. Like the original Aunt Viv,
they didn't look the same at all.
No, dark skin, tall, like slender dancer's body, the iconic dance scene, and then they bring in light skinned Aunt Viv, and it's like, we're just supposed to roll with this.
And it truly was like, just go with it. We're not addressing it. Moving on.
Yeah.
So it was a little wild for the show. But the Julianna Margulies, that one I feel like it's fun because people are so, what happened there? It's a lot of
like,
speculation.
Still don't really know.
Yeah.
They both like haven't confirmed anything. But that is one where they like hated one another so much that they refused to film together.
Yeah.
And so a lot of scenes were just completely fabricated.
Yeah. And the like final scene, it's like there's some that are clear CGI or a stand-in. It's a lot of like over the shoulder shots of one person. And people were just like, but no real clarity on why things had gotten this bad that like these two people couldn't even shoot together.
I don't know about either of these women deeply.
I don't know. It's all speculation. Some people feel like maybe Juliana said something kind of racist or off-putting. Yeah. Some people think that maybe there were just like issues with pay and who like was number one on the call sheet and, you know, in terms of episode pay and just some jealousies.
Very Kim and Sarah if it's about pay.
Yeah. So.
But also Julia, like she was
It's the good wife.
She is the good wife.
Yeah, she is the good
so
wife.
It's a little like,
I'm a right. little confused on that. Yeah.
On how anyone is upset there, but I don't know. I guess maybe it was like pay between some of the like white men on the show or something. Again, oh. all speculation, which is kind of what makes it a fun like feud because people know it exists, but we all are just kind of making our best guess. While the Will Smith one is like, oh no, we know what happened and it's really mean and evil and you ruined someone's life.
Exactly.
That like, one not is a like, lot of fun memes no, with that one.
There's yeah. no fun there. Though if you want to hear a musical adaptation of that whole thing, there is a song called Janet that's like I really love to listen to.
Musical adaptation of The Replacement of Aunt Viv.
Literally.
Yes.
Yes, literally. It's a song called Janet. I think it's by...
I've learned so much.
Berhana?
Okay.
You need to confirm because obviously yeah. I'm going to go listen to that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. an iconic moment in history. I think we all know where we were when we tuned in for that next episode. And it was like, what?
I watched it through reruns. It was like I was... I don't think I was their demographic when it came out because I was born in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say, I'm pretty sure actually when it came out, I was probably, yes, Berhana.
Yes, yeah, Berhana, it's called Janet, and it is about the whole firing. And he talks okay. about, like, dark skin wow. Aunt Viv and how he wants Aunt Viv back.
Damn, yeah. I mean, I think I was, like, 5 or 6 years old when it happened. But, mm-hmm. I mean, in you know, the Nick at Night reruns, when it happened, I was like, what's going on?
The world shifted. You're yeah. like, hold up.
The world shifted. I ran right. to AOL and mm-hmm. I tried to put the pieces together.
Yep. Yep. As teen AOL, AOL for yeah. teens, AOL if teen. You remember. Yeah.
And I tried to put the pieces together. I want to thank you both so much for joining me. We talked about so much TV, but I still want to, I have so many things that I yeah. still want to talk. Can you each give a recommendation for the listeners for the homework? I don't usually let my guests do this. Usually I am in control of what the recommendation is. But I trust the two of you so much after this conversation.
Sure.
But I'm going to throw it to you.
Well, I have been, I'm just catching up with Love is Blind, this season of Love is yes. Blind. I've heard some mixed reviews about how other people feel about how this cast stacks up to past seasons.
Yeah.
I'm upset. I think it's the perfect reality show.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it.
It's so deranged. Like, the very concept is not even that they're going in it blind, but that they have to get engaged and married at the end of it is, like, anybody who signs up for that is messy. Yeah. And it's messy. Going to be messy no matter what. And I love that.
And this time it's like, it's messy in the pods. Like, we're getting messy from the get-go this season. So yeah. I've been enjoying it. I have 3 juicy new episodes to watch this Friday's. It's the one show that I'm like, you know what, Netflix, fine. Like, roll it out slow. Let me enjoy it. Love it. I cannot
wait
to see.
And this season does have
I don't think
good...
anyone's getting married. Everyone is so unhinged.
No, nobody should at the end of the show, at any season. Yeah. This season does have a good, like, cliffhanger, like, end of episode jaw yeah. dropper that I mm-hmm. I didn't see coming. So,
same.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm torn because I do think at this point a lot of people have seen it. But if you haven't watched Chewing Gum, Michaela Cole's first show, you need to go watch that. But if you're looking for something completely different in the realm of reality TV, there are 3 options. One, Netflix's I Am a Killer, which is chilling, and yeah. it's just them interviewing yeah. people who are currently in prison for murder and them explaining yeah. why it happened, how they feel now. Number 2, there's
have
a
you
show
done
called-
the spinoff I Am a Stalker?
I have.
And that one is people going, honestly, I wish I was a murderer because being called a stalker in prison is so embarrassing.
Yeah. And they're like, ooh, that's really like, yeah, like kind of a shame.
Yeah. Like, could you not call me a stalker? I should have just murdered. And it's like, yeah. okay.
Like, guys, let's just be chill. Okay. And yeah. then they usually end up like finding some version of religion that will not help them. Yeah. Another show is called I Survived a Serial Killer. And that one has been really fascinating. It's a spinoff of I Survived. And what I like about it is there are no reenactments. I hate reenactments yeah. in a true crime mm-hmm. show. They piss me off. And it's not just because one time I got asked to audition to play a 16-year-old girl who murdered her grandparents and burned their house down. And I was like, that's the most horrific thing I've heard in my life. But so that show is just like, I don't know. It, my anxious brain, I'm like, okay, this is how this person survived. If God forbid I'm ever in this situation, nice to know what works.
Yeah.
And then something lighthearted if none of that appeals to you.
Yeah, a little light hurt. Yeah, yeah.
I've been watching Top Chef, like going through the seasons. Mm-hmm. I'd never watched it before. And it's just really nice because these people are all just, you know, so dedicated to what they do. And it's not like watching like MasterChef or Chopped where they're hurried and they're like scrambling to get stuff together. These are like actual geniuses and you're watching them really exercise their creative muscle. And so I love Top Chef. I love Padma. Tom Colicchio, yes. Call me.
Yes, two of my favorites. Oh my, I am always jealous when I see, like, Padma is super into comedy and she does stand up like shows sometimes in New York.
What?
And she invites just like comics I know and I'm like, "What do you mean you did what do you mean? What I'll move to New York just for her and that." Yeah. I don't care.
She's quitting Top Chef to go full on into comedy.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I can see her being very, she was so good on 30 Rock. Like, let's be real. Oh my gosh. Those are wonderful recommendations. I'm going to add to your list Below Deck Mediterranean. You said Below Deck Down Under. Well, Below Deck Med is back. Captain Sandy, my favorite. We're already starting with drama. Her new bosun came to the ship with entirely falsified documents. And first episode, they're like, "Dude, the guy on this picture is not you. You have like someone else's yacht license." And she's straight up like, "Where did you go to school?" And he's like, "On a yacht."
On a yacht.
And she's like, "No, this is like a class thing that you would have done." And he's like, "Yeah, I took the class on a yacht." And she's just like, "Okay, how about you go get some clear answers on that and come back?" And then he's like, "Okay, I'm not going to come back because I don't have really answers for you." And it's so clearly he just thought no one would ask about the paperwork. So we're getting, just from the jump, some great drama with Below Deck Med this season.
Yeah.
I'm also going to recommend Starstruck on Max. It is back for its third and final season.
Oh.
If you love a rom-com, lighthearted TV show, it is about a girl who has a one night stand with an actor that becomes like a relationship. This is like a big, he's like an A-list actor. Mm-hmm. So it's a big difference. And they try to make the relationship work. And this final season, knife through my heart, absolutely perfect. Finished it in a night. It is so good.
Ooh.
Oh,
so go watch that. You're gonna go watch it. Okay. I also was going to say Love is Blind because I just cannot believe what is happening with Lydia and Aaliyah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I need to watch.
Yeah. Just the Lydia and Aaliyah part. I don't know how long the drama will go, but I need your thoughts on it because Lydia is maybe one of the biggest villains in Love is Blind history that I've ever seen personally, I believe.
Right. And it's like a slow burn of villainy.
It's a slow burn villain story where at first you're like, "Oh, she's a girl's girl." And then you're like, "Oh, no, she's evil. She's the most evil of the girls."
Holy shit.
She's the opposite of a girl.
I can confirm it continues. Because I already have watched. It's Friday today. I've already woke up and started watching Love is Blind.
I truly was going to do it first thing. Wait. And then I decided to watch the Savior Complex doc. And I don't even know why because it makes me so angry. And I should have just done Love is Blind. Done Love is Blind.
So Lydia is who I should look out for.
Yes, Lydia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And my last one is going to be Reservation Dogs, which just aired its final episode for its final season also. It was beautiful. Mm. Just an absolutely brilliant episode of TV for a wonderful series that I just can't believe is over, but I'm so happy got to end on its own terms.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to talk about it for years to come. It's in the pantheon with, like, you know, Atlanta and all of those shows. So I don't think its impact will be forgotten. But that's your homework. I want to thank you both for joining me, Matt, Sydney.
Thank you.
You know, we've been saying this episode, we're recording it in the past. You're hearing it in the future. But as you know, every week we're telling you support the strikes. We don't need to tell you to support us writers anymore.
But support us actors.
But support
we need it.
Our actors. But they're meeting Monday.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed by the time you're hearing this. You're not hearing it because my editors cut it because it's not necessary anymore. But if you want to support the actors, if you're in LA or New York, you can join a picket line or drop off food and water. You can also donate money to the Entertainment Community Fund, which helps non-actor Hollywood crew members who are suffering hardships due to the strike. They're also going to be giving funds from that even though the strikes end. Clearly, people aren't going to go back to work right away. So you can keep donating to it because people will still be getting help. And you can donate at entertainmentcommunity.org and make sure to direct your gift to the film and television category when asked. Sydney, Matt, thank you so much. Where can people follow you? Where can they listen to the pod? Tell us what's up.
Well, we're both on the internet. I'm at Matt Bellassai on everything. And yeah, Dis and Tell is on all your podcast platforms.
Yes, you can listen anywhere. And I am at Sid Battle on most platforms. Sometimes I'm at Sydney Battle, but that's mostly just on Twitter, which may or may not exist by the time you listen to this.
Who knows? Who knows? They got new rules coming out. You got to upload your ID, fingerprints, and a birth certificate.
Oh, hell no.
So we'll see.
Hell no. So find me wherever.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining me. TV Club, you already got your homework today, so go watch all the amazing shows we've talked about today. I'm about to go watch Cold Justice, I know that much. After Love is Blind, of course. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls, tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.